Good evening and welcome to From the Frontline. I'm Lenora Hammond and I have Peter Hammond here in the studio with me. And this evening we would like to challenge you of how to change your world. What can you do? What are some of the positive solutions to some of the problems that we have been discussing? We did a series on who you can trust, and most of us know what the problems are, what the issues are. But I think it would be a good idea for us to discuss some of the positive solutions that we can attack as an individual, as a family, as a church, and as a community. So, Peter, what do we need to do to change our world?
Well, it's important for us to understand the worldviews that are behind so much of what happens. There are conspiracies, there are conspiracy theories, there are different groups working for different agendas. There's no doubt about it. And I'm sure people have been exposed to some of these. But when we understand the rationale, the worldviews, the motivations behind the different people in the world, whether we're talking about in the entertainment industry, in the education institutions, the news media, it's so important to understand where they're coming from and why they are doing or saying or proposing or implementing or legislating the way they are. So when we understand the worldviews in conflict and we understand the world war of worldviews, then it's so much more constructive. And there's a passage in 1 Chronicles that we need to understand the times. And there's a list of all the different types of soldiers that David had. And it describes tens of thousands of these and hundreds of thousands of those with different weapons. And then it speaks about the men of Issachar and just a small number, 120 of them. And there's no mention of their weapons, but said they understood the times and knew what God's people should do. And you could have said they were the intelligence or information people. They're the ones who understood both the information and the strategies going on. So when you look at what's going on in the world, you can summarize most people's motivations down to secular humanism is a major motivator. There's Marxism, which is a branch of humanism, but a far more revolutionary and violent group. There's New Age humanism, which is very much mystical. There's, of course, Islam, which has distinctly its own worldview. And then, of course, there's biblical Christianity. Now, when you understand these are the competing worldviews and conflicts, then it helps you to understand, oh, this is why in the Middle East they are proposing, say, Sharia law. And this is why in secular humanist countries they are proposing everything from how to deconstruct the family, deconstruct marriage, how to have a classless world society of world socialism where they want genderless people and they want a family to be basically reinvented, dismantled, and so on. Versus the biblical worldview, which is, of course, family-orientated and very much grounded in biblical law. So in the scriptures, we're told that there is a major conflict in worldviews. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, Psalm 1 summarizes almost all of the coming 150 Psalms. It shows there's this contrast, conflict between the righteous and the wicked, between the narrow way that leads to life and the broad way that leads to destruction, between those who build on the rock of God's word and those who build on the sand of human effort. Jesus summarized this in the Sermon on the Mount, between the wise man and the foolish man, and speaking about the broad way and the narrow way. And so over and over in scripture, we see these teachings, such as when our Lord challenges, he who is not with me is against me. Whoever is not helping together is scattering. And there's a lot of challenges, like on Mount Carmel, Elijah saying, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And Joshua challenged the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so if we want to change our world, it's important to understand where other worldviews, religions, or ideologies, or policies are coming from, or what's underlying or foundational to people's decisions. And then we've got to know what we believe, why we believe it, how to defend it in argument, and how to apply it to everyday life.
So maybe what we need to do then is back up a few steps and just very briefly talk about what is actually wrong with our world. Because sometimes I think we are aware of situations and we may not even necessarily perceive those situations as wrong. So maybe you can just list for us, just in a nutshell, some of the things that are wrong, and more importantly, why so many things are going wrong.
Well, yes. So you could look at the symptoms. We see the symptoms of what's wrong in our society. We can see there's a lot of deception in news media. There's a lot of degeneracy in entertainment. There's a lot of dishonesty in business, decadence in government. There's crime. There's abortion. There's pornography. There's all kinds of perversions. And there's STDs and all kinds of vile sicknesses out there. But those are only symptoms. But the underlying root causes are far more significant. And that's what we need to address. We mustn't, you're not so much concerned about the fruit or the leaf of the tree. You deal with the root and the soil, and you're trying to once you water and fertilize the soil and you care for the root of the branch and the tree, well, the rest of it will flow. So we need to address the root causes. And at the root of all of our problems is lack of love for God, lack of knowledge of the Bible, neglect of the Word of God, ineffective churches, churches that are neither nurturing nor evangelizing or discipling or not fulfilling the Great Commission, insipid preaching, which doesn't really tackle the real issues, or irresponsible leaders who are too cowardly to challenge evil, rejection of God's law as the foundation for our families and churches and nation and economies, prayerlessness. There's a root cause. Why are things so bad in the world? Well, how often have we not studied the Word of God, sought to apply the Word of God, communicate the Word of God, and how seldom have we actually prayed against evil or prayed for God's will to be done? In a nutshell, you could say selfishness is at the root of our problems. Mm. The middle head of sin is I. Mm. Middle head of lie is I. Mm. Middle head of pride is I. Confusion, compromise, cowardice. So these are root causes. And the root causes are leading to the symptoms of what's wrong in our society. And that's why it's so important for us to have a renewed vision. Without a vision, a people perish. We need a revitalized leadership. People are going to lead by example, as Jesus said, that he is the example for us and we need to follow in his steps. He has suffered for us and we need to follow in his footsteps. Mm. We need a restored nation. We need regenerate families. We need to return to God in repentance and rediscover the biblical agenda and rebuild the walls of our society, like Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, sort of brick by brick, rebuilding those things that make for a stable society, and resisting demands for national suicide, and resolutely work for reformation and pray for revival. So this is what we need, is a new vision. We need God's vision. We need to get effectively, in a word, back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so would you say that there is an agenda then, a worldwide agenda? And if so, what is that agenda?
Well, yes, because if you just go to Psalm 2, in Psalm 2, we read, why do the nations rage and the kings of the earth plot together against the Lord? So right there in the second psalm, in the middle of the Bible, we see that there are nations that are in rebellion to God, who are seeking to cast off his chains, who want to break the fetters, who want to throw off the limitations and restrictions placed by the Word of God for our protection and to preserve life and liberty. And so the kings of the earth are, in many cases, conspiring together against the Lord, we read in Psalm 2. So therefore, yes, there are agendas, and this has been well documented in, for example, the Agenda and Agenda 2 film, Masters of Deceit, excellent films by Curtis Bowers, well worth seeing those documentaries, Agenda and Agenda 2. So it's been documented in many ways. Let's recognize there is an agenda, and the scripture even shows that there are principalities and powers which are working in heavenly realms, which are working for deception. So Satan is real, the occult is real, and Satan has inspired people such as Karl Marx, who was plainly a Satanist, and through the Marxist and communist movements worldwide, and other very insidious groups. There are groups that are working for centralization, globalization, who are seeking to restrict our freedoms, and we can see that for example, just in this last year, 2020, we've had how many countries shut down, how many people's businesses destroyed, and churches unable to meet, not even to celebrate Easter and Good Friday. So you can see now, was that accidental? Well, there's others who say, actually, this is following an agenda to have more centralized control, and panics and fear is often sold and promoted and exaggerated for the very real purpose of getting people to be willing to give up their freedoms in exchange for safety. And so governments or international groups like the United Nations and so on often sell fear and promote themselves as the savior so that people are willing to be restricted and limited, even if it's going to destroy their economy, prevent the church from fulfilling the Great Commission. They accept lockdowns and restrictions because they've been sold, doubtless a fabricated issue, even about a virus that was probably manufactured in a biological warfare laboratory in Wuhan, which is the largest biological warfare institution in the world. So that's interesting coincidence right there, isn't it? That the Wuhan health crisis originated from an area where they actually have the largest biological warfare manufacturing plant in the world. And there's a lot of evidence that is coming out that, in fact, this virus was manufactured in a lab. And it just there's a whole book that just came out now documenting that it's mathematically impossible that this could have occurred in nature. This was uniquely created. And there's evidence on that, which one can go to the experts in virology for. But the point is, we see a concerted effort by many to increase the number of laws, to suffocate freedoms, to limit freedom of speech, to limit even investigation when it comes to knowledge on history or science even, on the university campuses, so that there's less freedom of speech than ever before, there's less freedoms, the family's under attack, and there's a huge amount of taxation that comes out, forcing mothers even to leave children in the home or at some daycare center to go out to work to pay for the exorbitant overtaxation, which is going to what? And huge amounts of disruption of what has been healthy societies for generations has been undermined in the latter half of the 20th century worse than ever before. So there seems to be an agenda. And can it be accidental when education destroys knowledge and when doctors destroy health and when governments destroy freedom and when banks destroy economies? And yes, you've got to say, could this all be accidental? Or is there an agenda? Not to say everyone doing these things or promoting these things necessarily understands the agenda. They might just be cogs in a wheel who are doing what they were taught to do at school or what they've been inclined to do because of the misinformation from the mass media or the indoctrination received in state schools. But people are, one way or another, whether they're doing it consciously or not, consistently or not, we are working in accordance with either a biblical worldview or an unbiblical worldview.
So worldviews clearly then play a big role in this.
It does, because these are the underlying assumptions about every area of life. For example, if you are looking out somewhere and you see water flowing uphill, you don't have to see the pump to know there must be a pump, because you know water can't flow uphill. It's not natural. Water's got to flow downhill because of gravity. But if you see water going uphill, such as at a theme park, you've got to know there's got to be a pump behind it pushing that water uphill, because that doesn't occur in nature. And so because of your knowledge about some things, you will rationalize instantly, even without seeing necessarily, just because you understand certain realities. We understand things that may help us make sense of the world, which may be true, which may be false, which may be partially true. And in this way, we all operate in accordance to some worldviews. Most people haven't consciously thought their way through it, but it doesn't mean we're not influenced by that worldview.
So if you're new to this concept and you're new to there actually being an agenda behind all of this and that worldviews do play a role, how can we then understand the times? What do we need to do as individuals to fully try and grasp the bigger picture here?
Well, the Bible, of course, is your first step, because the Bible tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we are not to be conformed to the world, but we are to be transformed by the word. And many Christians see the world in bits and pieces, to quote Francis Schaeffer, instead of seeing the whole picture. And too many churchgoers feel like Christians in their hearts, but think like humanists in their minds. And all too many people seem to have a Christian heart, but humanist minds. We are warned in Colossians 2 verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. And so, without realizing it, many sincere Christians with good intentions have accepted unbiblical concepts and a humanist worldview. I mean, just look at how many Christians vote. You've got Christians who are pro-life, but they vote in many cases for a pro-abortion candidate. You've got many Christians who believe that marriage can only be between a man and a woman, there's only two genders, but they vote for political parties that are dedicated to promoting gender confusion and perversion. And why do they do this? Not because they're evil, but because they're misinformed. The news media they're relying on is hiding or distracting them from the real issues and giving them a very alternate reality. And the entertainment industry often plays with our emotions and makes us feel sympathetic to groups that are very anti-Christian and hostile to our own survival. So it's so important to recognize what media are we imbibing. If we read the newspaper more than the Bible, if we read secular books and magazines more than Christian publications, if we influence more by secular websites than by Christian ones, if we watch TV more than we worship Christ, then inevitably our minds will be shaped and filled by the world. And the Bible's clear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we need to be sure that we have a biblical worldview, that we are understanding the world from God's perspective, not from Hollywood's or CNN's perspective.
So really, it's time to reclaim our Christian heritage.
Yes.
And to demonstrate to the world that the Bible is really the only book that has the best answers to society's most pressing problems. So I think in order to do this, we have to understand the times we live in, which we've just discussed, and we need to learn to effectively defend, clearly communicate the gospel to a needy world. And I think that one of the bigger issues too is that the church is not practically involved.
Sadly not. In fact, there's some horrific statistics that the average person from a Christian background, from a Christian home who attended church, who goes to a secular university, 75% of them, that's 3 out of every 4, will no longer be attending church or calling themselves a Christian within 3 years of being in a secular university. Now, that's the statistics. Of course, we trust we can beat the odds. But the fact is, statistically, 75% of people from a church-going background and ostensibly Christian families are abandoning the faith within just 3 years of entering secular university. Mm. This is a catastrophe. Mm. You know, if an army loses 10% of manpower, that's not considered just a defeat, that's considered disaster. Mm. But 75%, that's decimation, that's absolute disaster beyond catastrophe. And yet you can see what's happening. Many loving families and loving churches are doubtless doing a lot of good things, but they're not preparing their youth in many cases, or children, in worldviews. And they therefore not prepared when they get into an extremely hostile anti-Christian environment, which these days can even be high school, but certainly universities. Wow, the hostile anti-Christian, anti-biblical worldview, anti-family views that you can get in some of these tertiary colleges. And many people are just knocked senseless right, left, and center, and under such relentless peer pressure that many run up the white flag. And of course, it's often coming along with new temptations, and there's pressures for drugs and drink and other relationships. And before you know it, even a very well-meaning, committed Christian can be finding themselves reeling and then feeling disgusted with themselves that they gave into this peer pressure or temptation. And so it is so incumbent upon church leaders and parents and teachers and educators and Sunday school teachers and youth leaders to be sure that their youngsters are well prepared for the issues and to know the issues, both to understand the arguments that are going to come from the other side, such as the evolutionists and so on, and what the biblical answers are. And their whole ministry is built up to actually help one, which unfortunately most Christians aren't aware of. Answers in Genesis has done massive research on creation and science and how to answer the advocates of the Big Bang and those who say there's no intelligent design, and to be able to give rational, effective answers and use their attacks as stepping stones for effective evangelism. But also many people don't even understand a rational biblical defense of the right to life of preborn babies, or when life begins, or what a responsibility is when it comes to families, and are there more than two genders, and can marriage be other than a man and a woman? And these are issues that were considered settled in our parents' days, but now our children and grandchildren are battling these things and issues where it seems everything's up to grab. Mm. But the overwhelming tsunami of pressure is for the unbiblical worldview. Mm. And so Christians are more than a minority. I mean, you've got to be like a steel-headed trout swimming upstream to survive. Mm. If you just go with the flow, you're going to be washed right down into... And this is, as James Dobson says, particularly a danger for the compliant child. Mm. He says, praise God for the strong-willed child, because the strong-willed child that resists you may resist peer pressure later. Mm. But the compliant child who seems to be your perfect gem today may be the same one who gives in to pressure the moment they're put into a secular environment like the universities.
Yeah. And I think it's also important for us as Christians to remember that everyone has a worldview. But these worldviews are shaped by how these children have grown up, what schools they've gone to, what their parents have believed. And everything is interpreted by that worldview. And I think that it's important for us to remember that that the scriptures or the Bible speaks to absolutely everything. It's not just how we should live and what our moral code should be, but it speaks to economics, it speaks to education, it speaks to relationships and how to manage and govern families and communities and countries and nations. And I think that we need to be far more prepared now to defend a biblical worldview than our parents did. Because in our parents' generation, it was just assumed that the bulk of people accepted that right from wrong, and they knew that you would get some answers at church and it would keep you on the straight and the narrow. But these days, as you say, everything is up for grabs. So I think it's very important for us to be reminded of what exactly the biblical worldview is. So what can we do to put feet to that faith then, and to be salt and light in our society?
Well, obviously, reading the right books is very, very helpful. There's some excellent books on worldviews, such as Understanding the Times by Dr. David Noble, and How Then Should We Live by both Francis Schaeffer and also Charles Colson's written How Now Shall We Live, a follow-up on that. Some excellent thinkers have helped. Gary DeMars dealt with God and government and straight thinking in a crooked world and myths, lies, and deceit. Many good books are available. So I would say Understand the Times is the best. The summary of that is The Battle for Truth. And a much more user-friendly, easy read is Mind Siege, all by David Noble. Those are excellent worldview books. My contribution is Biblical Principles for Africa and Renaissance or Reformation. We've organized the Biblical Worldview Seminar, which obviously the easiest way is you go to a camp and there's a whole lot of like-minded people and there's fun programs, interactive body, mind, and spirit. And we do that every January of each year, that young people are encouraged to come together, and it's all ages available, but it tends to be people from high school and university ages primarily. And we look at every area of life. We look at worldviews. We look at answers. And the most important thing is for people to see the Bible is super relevant to everything. In fact, only the Bible has the tried and tested gold standard solutions to every single problem. Personal, family, community, country, continent-wise. In fact, the Bible has answers to every solution, every issue, every concern, every problem, every challenge that we've got. But most people don't know it. And so it's quite exhilarating for the average young person to come along and discover there is a biblical principle for economics and for crime and punishment and for entertainment and for mathematics and for every area of life. And this is just such a revelation, because I think many people have taken their Christian faith and heritage for granted. And so when we rediscover the phenomenal Christian foundations, which we've taken for granted so much, just think of these sort of things. Our society's got so much Christian foundations that have been forgotten. why do we speak about this being 2020? 2020 what? Well, 2020 years since our Lord was born in the year of our Lord, AD. And what happened? What was so extraordinary as to split time and to split time in half and to determine how we date everything? The most important person in all of history has evidently been the Lord Jesus Christ, even if he's banned from most schools and colleges. The way we do our dating, even an atheist has to acknowledge Jesus Christ when he writes today, 2020. 2020 what, you might ask? The fact that we've got a seven-day work week. A seven-day work week? Why 7 days? Well, God created the world in 7 days. Why do we tend to rest 1 7? God rests on the seventh day. And why have we moved from the seventh day being the Sabbath to the first day being Sabbath? Jesus rose from dead on the first day of the week. The monumental importance of Jesus Christ and God's work of creation, his fingerprints are forever all over the place. What's a holiday? A holy day. Mm. And that's the etymology of the word. When we say goodbye, why do we say goodbye? Where does that come from? God be with you. It's an old English prayer. There's so many great Christian reminders. It's like the stones can cry, not just the cathedrals, but the rocks that God made. There's evidence for the flood all over the world. So when we get to understand history, culture, art, science from a biblical point of view, it not only deepens and enriches our faith, but it also makes us far more effective witnesses to a world who have been told that Christianity is old, irrelevant, and has no answers to the problems of today. Well, we can show quite the contrary.
Mm. So I think if you find yourself in a situation now where you really are struggling to interpret things through the lens of Scripture, everything you see on the news, and you perhaps have a pastor, that's even if you're allowed to go to church right now, who's not addressing these issues, I think it's good for us to point out at this point that we offer biblical worldview summits and we offer training courses. And for 2021, we're even thinking of having some weekend courses and shaping these sorts of things into different ways so that more people can attend, because not everybody can attend in January, or maybe they have young families, or, you know, whatever the case may be, we're working on providing other options. So let's discuss some of the things that you think will help people to understand what the solution is. What are some of the things that these camps and courses and biblical worldview summits aim to give us?
Well, it aims to give confidence in your abilities. And we do this because there's a lot of effective practical involvement. We have PT, we have obstacle crossing, we have team building, problem solving activities. In fact, most of the time is given to outdoor practical activities and group activities and discussion groups, and which are age appropriate and so on. And it increases people's confidence and abilities. We've got some people at the beginning where, you know, they're afraid of the water, and before you know it, they're helping to make a raft and crossing the river or the lake on it, or they were afraid of going into tunnels and in an obstacle crossing, and afterwards this person did it over and over again. He's just so excited, he'd broken that fear, that limitation. And so confidence in your abilities, debating skills as well, just a minute, all kinds of great games. And there's always great Christian friendships. In fact, the interesting thing is not one of our children have ever missed a camp whatsoever throughout their whole lives. They've said highlight of the year. Mm. And they've got so many friends. I think one of the WhatsApp groups is Amazing People Group. So there's definitely a lot of great Christian friendships. And we can remember a whole lot of people who met and married as a result of great commission courses and biblical worldview summits. Mm-hmm. Lots of marriages. Wow. And understand the force of shaping our world. It's so worthwhile to not just get bombarded with a whole lot of stories that they give you in the media, but to understand there's lessons to be learned, there's sequences, there's a consequence. Everything has consequences, and ideas have consequences. Mm. We give people a positive defense of your faith, that people will be excited and exhilarated to discover the historical, biblical, cultural, scientific background to a whole lot of great things in our lives and our history. Most importantly, I'd say, is biblical direction in life and a motivation to make a difference. When a person comes to these camps and they're interacting with some fine speakers, great resources, good materials, some excellent films, with other like-minded people, similar ages and so on. So all of this would give one an understanding of the ideas that rule the world. And when you understand the ideas that rule the world, that gives us the opportunity to influence the world of ideas.
Mm. Yeah, so specifically now, if you're a family and you've got several children who you think might benefit from this, or if they're taking history as a subject at school, or geography or sociology and things like that, where they're definitely going to get another worldview, the summit could really be one of the better investments that you make for your children. And as I say, we're hoping to offer them in a variety of packages, but some of the subjects that the course include are understanding the ideas that rule the world. So again, that will address the worldviews, correct?
Yes, and interesting people. You know, many of us, we've heard of Darwin and we've heard of Marx, but we don't actually know how much the ideas have radically changed the world for the worse, mind you. And people who had good ideas and which changed the world for the better, and Martin Luther and the Reformation, creation versus evolution, surviving and thriving at university. If we've got to go to a tertiary university, well, how do we not just survive but thrive? We don't just want to come out of it with our Christian faith intact. We want to have won people to Christ. We want to reclaim the university or the campus for Christ. So there's apologetics, there's effective evangelism. We incorporate Way of the Master and Answers in Genesis and Evangelism Explosion methods in our training program. So we're very evangelistic and evangelical and try to help people to deal with the guilt manipulation in a practical way. And when you know your history, then you can be immune to guilt manipulation because you know the facts which wreck the narrative. It's a battle for the mind, a battle for the mind in the news media, a battle for the heart, a battle for the family. And I think we're tackling all those battles effectively every year. And of course, it's important to note that every year's Biblical Worldview Seminar and Summit's quite different. There's some similarities, but the programs and the speakers and the topics are continually developing because the situation is so fluid. And we've just gone through a revolutionary year. And it's so important to keep current and up to date that we know the best issues and resources and arguments and solutions that we can offer in a world that seems to be going over the cliff in its rejection of Gardner's laws.
So when is the next summit officially planned, barring any unforeseen obstacles that we can't get over? When is the next one planned?
Well, the 4th to the 11th of January. So from Monday the 4th to Monday the 11th of January, that'll be in and around Cape Town. So this will happen. We trust it'll happen at the campsites we're planning for. But even if some new lockdown comes, we will do whatever we can from our mission house. We will live stream. We'll do whatever we can. But of course, the thing is, live streaming is only lectures. That doesn't deal with discussion groups and obstacle courses and mountain climbs and team building out there, crossing rivers and so on. So certainly we hope and pray as many listeners as possible can take part in these events. And one of our goals always is that people who come to camps and courses will be not just enthused, but equipped and empowered to go and run similar courses at home. Maybe not a camp, but maybe through the midweek, through the youth group, through their Sunday school class. There's different ways that people could replicate this. And so we make sure everyone goes home with the PowerPoints, the audio, the lecture notes, the manuals, and so that they can actually redo many of these things. And maybe they can't organize a 7-day camp, but they could organize a Worldview Weekend here and a couple of midweek meetings through the months. So the whole goal is for everything to be replicated and multiplied.
And it doesn't look likely that there will be any international travel available in January, but perhaps there will be some in June. So you're also planning on offering a three-week course in June.
Well, yes. In fact, these are two steps. So the Biblical Worldview Summit is applying the Lordship of Christ to all areas of life, understand the world of worldviews, and preparing people to be able to understand intellectually these issues and be effective in one-on-one discussion, debates, even radio phone-in programs. But now the Great Commission course is a three-week program, and that we're planning in June, July of this next year, 2021. And that's of course, our winter, but it'll be Northern Hemisphere summer. We would, in a Great Commission course, always be getting people out onto the streets, into areas, door-to-door evangelism, all sorts of things, involves, and that's missions. So Biblical Worldview Summit is for any Christian, but Great Commission course is particularly for those interested in missions, particularly cross-cultural missions, and who are interested in fulfilling the Great Commission. So the Great Commission course is a much smaller group, much more focused, and it's a lot more physical. Backpacks, literature, mountain climbs, night hikes, getting people out of their comfort zone. So the Great Commission course would be the next step for a person who really loved the Biblical Worldview Summit. But anybody, even if a person isn't physically fit or so on, is going to enjoy the Biblical Worldview Summit. The Biblical Worldview Summit's for students and teachers and parents and those who really want to understand the education, entertainment, news media in a biblical way. And, of course, everyone will have a chance to get out for an outreach at least once in that week. Mm-hmm. With the Great Commission course, they'll be getting out in multiple outreaches mm-hmm. every week.
But the Great Commission course isn't necessarily only aimed for people who want to go into a full career in missions, but also people who want to be more effective on a university campus or more effective in their workplace or more effective within their own community. Maybe they live near a Muslim community and they want to learn how to effectively be mm-hmm. a regular godly witness in that community. So I think it's important to point that out. You don't necessarily, now you may come to this and you may change your mind and enter a life of ministry, but it's not necessarily geared towards that. So what other resources at the moment can people go to immediately? They've been inspired, they see there's a problem, they see that there are solutions available that they hadn't considered before. What else can people do now in the lead up to the holy season and remembering Christ through incarnation? What can we do positively now?
Well, if you go onto the frontlinemissionsa.org website, you'll find quite a range of materials from videos and audios and PowerPoints and articles and links. So frontlinemissionsa.org would be first step, and that would also have under events, more details about the upcoming Biblical Worldview Summit from the 4th to 11th of January. But then you'll be able to also see some of the reports on previous camps and some videos on some of the previous camps, which will give you an insight under the Biblical Worldview Summit, some of what's happened before. But you'll also be able to get involved in seeing some of the lectures. We've got some lectures being videoed and some, if you prefer, audios. And if you want to understand about some specific issues and you go on the Frontline Mission Resources, you'll see that the drop down there will include articles on everything from Christmas to creation to apologetics, evangelism, missions, persecuted church, and so on. And some are dealing with issues like the economy and pandemics and plandemics and scamdemics and how to respond in a balanced biblical way to the lockdowns and all of these things. So we're continually adding to these websites. If you want particularly sermons, that's livingstonfellowship.co.za, including summaries of every book in the Bible, that's on there too, in audio, some even in video. So yes, go on to the frontlinemissionsa.org, and if you're keen and you want more information, you can email mission@frontline.org.za, mission@frontline.org.za, and get more details or sign up for the next Biblical Worldview Summit.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's good to be equipped to know how we can change our world, what some of the positive solutions are. We're daily bombarded with all the negatives, but there is definitely positive things that we as individuals and as families can do. So thank you for all this information. Please stay in touch with us, and we wish you a great week, a good evening, and thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless and goodbye.